Grace and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is drawn from the book of Acts in the fifth chapter, verses 12 and 17 to 32. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. And the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. And someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you've filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So far the text. In the name of our risen Savior, dear Christian friends, this is what is written: "The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That is what Jesus told the band of his disciple followers cowering behind locked doors for fear on Easter night. And you'll remember how he provided them with proof that he was not a ghost by inviting them to touch him and asking them to give him some food to consume in their presence. He then opened their minds to understand the Old Testament scriptures that foretold all about his suffering, death, and resurrection. And then he provided them with marching orders, what their assignment would be going forward, namely, to spread his life-giving word. Picture, if you can, a pebble being dropped into a water pond, and as it plops in, ripples radiating outward in ever-widening concentric circles. Well, that is what the Holy Spirit made happen with the message of the risen Christ through the apostles and other believers. Acts tells us, chapter 6, the word of God spread in Jerusalem, the number of disciples was multiplied. Acts 12, the word of God continued to increase and spread through Palestine. Acts 13, the word of the Lord spread through the region of Asia Minor. Acts 19, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power in the territory around the metropolis of Ephesus. And as you continue reading in Acts, you know how it spread farther than to the continent of Europe. And all this, mind you, despite increasingly hostile forces that set themselves against Jesus and his people. This morning we want to consider Luke's account of the incredible Jerusalem jailbreak recorded in Acts chapter 5. We want to mark especially two takeaways from this story for our lives as disciple followers of Jesus today. First, that we can expect men, even government leaders, to do all they can to suppress and cancel the Easter message. But we can expect also, to our comfort and encouragement, the Holy Spirit to help and strengthen us to keep right on telling people the full message of Easter. So I mentioned Luke, he's the author of the book of Acts. He's the same man whom the Holy Spirit used to provide us with this third gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This was a sequel to his gospel. And he tells in the book of Acts of a series of events that took place in Jerusalem after Pentecost. The apostles of Jesus, in obedience to Jesus' word of instruction on Easter night, started immediately following Pentecost to spread the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. And along with the preaching, they were able to do, with God's power, miraculous signs as proof that the words that they were sharing were authentic. They were not fairy tales. Two of the miraculous signs, by the way, you'll remember, was how Peter at the temple at the beautiful gate healed a lame man who had never walked a step in his life. And we're told also in the same chapter of our sermon text how people were bringing sick people to the apostles, putting them in the streets and laying them on beds and mats so that when Simon Peter walked by and his shadow would fall on them, they would get cured. You'd think that the response of everybody to the preaching of the good news of Jesus, the loving Savior of sinners, with these accompanying signs, would have led them all to praise God and to listen with eager ears to the things that the apostles were saying. But this was not the case. Luke records in our text how members of the Jewish High Council, the Sanhedrin, that was the same body before whom Jesus was brought for trial, were filled with indignation, and especially since not long before this, they had given the apostles a cease and desist order to no longer speak or teach in the name of the resurrected Christ. So they had them arrested, put them in public jail with the intention of calling him in on the next day to question them. And that's when we hear the incredible account of how God, in the middle of the night, sent down an angel from heaven to break the apostles out and instructed them to go stand in the temple courts and to tell the people the full message of this new life, life in Christ. The Jewish authorities convened their meeting to call the apostles on the carpet, read them the riot act. They sent officers to have them brought in from the jail. The officers, however, found the jail was locked, guards posted as usual. But when the officers entered the jail, they discovered no apostles. We're told how, when they went back to give the report to their superiors, someone came in and informed them that apostles are in the temple courts again teaching the people about Jesus. So the captain then made a beeline for the temple, had his officers take the 12 into custody, brought them into the courtroom for questioning. That's when the high priest, probably would have been Caiaphas, angrily complained, "We gave you strict orders to not teach in this name. You've filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." The heart of this opposition, as we read between the lines, is that Caiaphas and the other Sanhedrin members knew that they had killed the Prince of Life and had shed his innocent blood, but they did not want to admit their wrongdoing. They did not want to repent. They did not want to confess that they needed Jesus to be their Savior from sin and from death. What about today? Well, we know there's still opposition to Christ and his teachings. In some cases also, yes, even government authorities. If you had a chance to read that March mission prayer list for our overseas missions, you noted how persecution is going on among our fellow believers in India, in one of the states, Karnataka, which is home to several CLCI-affiliated pastors. They passed an anti-conversion law recently, which has led enemies of Christ to persecute new converts to Christianity and filing formal complaints against them. Pastor Manatosh, leader of the church in Bangladesh, reported that several people who were converted to Christianity from Hinduism have been physically assaulted and again falsely accused of crimes against the state. In our own United States, things, yeah, they have not deteriorated to that extreme level yet. Still, isn't it true, my friends, we can tell, we notice, as we look out over the landscape of our society, that followers of Jesus are often portrayed by the media, by Hollywood, as very odd birds. Our American culture is getting more and more flagrant in disparaging faithful to the Bible Christians and churches who are fully committed in their teachings to the Christ of the Bible and to all the things that he has commanded us. Young people are being tempted also to view their elders, parents, and grandparents as dinosaurs and troglodytes, as ignorant people out of step with the times. That is how faithful Christians are often viewed and characterized still today, just as in the times of the apostles. Jesus foretold about this, we know. He said, if the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his family, Christians. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. So yeah, that's one takeaway from the story of our text, that we can expect the world at large and even sometimes government leaders to try to cancel and censor the gospel message. Now let's go on to consider the other very encouraging takeaway for our lives as Christians from Luke's incredible account of the jailbreak at Jerusalem. We can expect the Holy Spirit to help and strengthen us as Christians to keep right on sharing with others the full Easter message. We see this from the apostles' response here in our text to the order they received from the Sanhedrin. When angry Caiaphas complained, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in Jesus' name, and yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood," the apostles' reply was, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior so that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. And we're witnesses of these things, and so isn't the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So we see how the Holy Spirit made the disciples to be markedly different in their character from what they had been. They are not the same scaredy cats who were shaking in their boots behind closed doors on Easter night. But now, in the face of opposition, they courageously proclaim the good news of Jesus. The angel that broke them out of the prison had said, "Go tell the people the full message of this new life." That's exactly what they did. It's also something Jesus foretold. He said, "You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth." That, my friends, is the power that the risen Christ continues to wield and to share in our lives as his followers today. The Holy Spirit does the same for Christians in our modern day world. He provides us with boldness to keep right on telling others the full message of Easter. What's the full message of Easter? Well, the reality of sin. There is such a thing as sin. And the penalty for sin, which is death, which brought God's Son down from heaven to the cross to atone for it. And then also his resurrection, which assures us that our faith in the risen Christ is not in vain. It is not a fairy tale. Very ironic, in our text we heard how the high priest cast the blood of Jesus in a very unfavorable light. He spoke about it in negative terms in his round criticism of the apostles when he said, "You've filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." It's ironic how the Holy Spirit, in his grace and power, enables God's believing people to view Jesus' blood in a very beautiful light, very positively. He helps us to want to fill the world with this message, which we consider precious and very, very glorious. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. It was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or defect. So we pray the Lord continue to enable us and strengthen us and encourage us in this way to fill our homes with that message in our teaching of our children and family members, message of the risen Christ, and that we continue to fill our community as the Lord helps us with this message as we witness the risen Christ to friends and work colleagues, always being ready to give an answer to those who ask us to give them the reason for the hope that we have in Christ. And that we continue to spread this message through our congregation's mission outreach efforts, praying that the Lord would give us extra opportunities to talk to others about his blood shed for us all. And then also that he enable us and bless our efforts to fill the whole world with the message of the gospel as we offer petitions and as we bring offerings to his altar for CLC missions through the CBP, Cooperative Budget Plan. It's part of one of the pieces of pie, Emmanuel and Eau Claire. And then also another important part of that is our mission program, both stateside in the United States and overseas, so that those ripples might continue to emanate outward from us as individual Christians and as a congregation, as a synod to the other people of the world. For he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, writes John in his epistle. So those are two takeaways for our lives as disciples of Jesus from this account of Luke of the incredible Jerusalem jailbreak. Yes, expect opposition, expect enmity from the enemies of Christ and the gospel, but also be encouraged to know the Lord will continue to help and encourage you in your work of broadcasting and sharing the message of Christ as his witnesses. Let this then be our ongoing Easter hope and prayer. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Salvation, uphold with your spirit.